Welcome to Green Shoots. My name is Mike France, and I'm a financial advisor with the Arbor Group at UBS Financial Services. I'm joined today with my colleague and financial advisor, Jack O'Connor.
Mike and I are located in the Seattle, Washington office of UBS and can be reached at thearborgroup@ubs.com. Green Shoots is a podcast that focuses on the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the people and organizations that are aligned with these objectives. Today, our extra special guest is Marcus Lehman, CEO and co-founder of CalWave Power Technologies. CalWave is based in Oakland, California, and they are working to provide reliable, cost-effective ocean wave technology to power our homes and businesses. It is important to note that Marcus is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services and his views are his own.
As always on the Green Shoots podcast, we're focused on how our guests are working towards achieving the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, of which CalWave is primarily focused on goal number 7, affordable and clean energy. So without further ado, Marcus Lehman. Marcus Lehman, welcome to Green Shoots.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. Why don't we just jump into our lineup of questions here? I know you are a busy man and have a lot going on today. I was looking at your profile. You originally are from Germany. You went to university in Germany, ended up at UC Berkeley in California. How did you end up finding yourself as the co-founder and CEO of CalWave?
Yeah, I've been always really interested in renewable energy since high school. Developed a solar race car there. And yeah, I've been really actively looking for entrepreneurial opportunities in this space, and then really just coincidentally got in touch with the professor and the technology that then ultimately led to CalWave. So visited UC Berkeley for my master thesis as a visiting scholar. And then while waiting for my visa to come over, I read about a new concept in the MIT Technology Review and then noticed, oh, it's actually the same professor that's going to host my master thesis, and then felt this is a really good fit between my two areas of focus, renewable energy systems and product development, and then proposed that topic as a research for my master thesis kind of halfway through my appointment. And that's how we really got started, built the first proof of concept that then led to a first patent that UC Berkeley filed in 2013.
That sounds certainly like it was meant to be then. And for our listeners that may not be familiar with wave power technology, can you give us a short primer on the technology? And where have other companies struggled and what has CalWave been able to accomplish?
Yeah, in general, wave energy fits under the larger marine energy or ocean energy industry. We often get mixed up with tidal energy, which is driven by the moon, the technologies and industry as a whole is a little more mature and established. It's essentially wind turbines underwater. In our case, wave energy is originated by wind causing friction on the ocean surface. So the resource is different and the locations are different. For the US, wave energy is significantly larger than tidal energy and can provide really baseload, stable power at night and winter times. And yeah, it's really available on most of the coastlines. So the Department of Energy has found the practical resource potential. So it's already reduced twice from the theoretical, still large enough to provide 40% of US electricity demand. So there's an enormous, yeah, we often say it's the largest unused renewable resource.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't realize it was 40%. Now you have developed a prototype, the X-Wave. And you're going to scale these prototypes and make a larger unit. Can you tell us a little bit about how this technology is going to be compatible with existing infrastructure? How many of your units will it take to power a home? Just give a little idea of the generation on a per project basis.
So CalWave provides the technology that can harness wave power. So you can see us really similar to OEMs of wind turbines, but supplying project developers in the marine energy industry. So far, because the industry is new, there are not a lot of developers. So initially, we as CalWave will develop a couple of projects ourselves to demonstrate the technology and the competitiveness from a cost perspective. But in the long run, we expect the same project developers that currently build offshore wind or tidal energy farms, they would also then pick up wave to a larger scale. So we see big synergies in actually co-locating with offshore wind farms. So not mixing them together because it's different technologies, different stages of industries, but using the same export cable. And several studies have found that wind and wave power happens at different times and we can control the production profile. And it's often called curtailment. And so through that, we can really achieve a very great complementary production profile where wind and wave together gets very close to baseload clean energy. That's exactly what we're looking for. And that's going to be the big challenge for the energy transition, is to get us to that very stable baseload clean energy source. So all that buzz you hear around carbon technologies, clean hydrogen, and so on, all that only makes sense if we actually do that on baseload clean energy. So that's the problem we have to solve first, and then everything else can follow.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think we've talked about the baseload and intermittency issues in the past on the podcast. But Galwave is, they're preparing for the development of PacWave, which is the first federally approved commercial scale utility grid connected wave energy site in the US. So can you tell us about how this project came to fruition and what the goals are with deployment?
Yeah, so historically, Europe was a little further ahead in ocean energy. There are a range of different facilities in Europe, most notably the Ocean EMEC, the European Marine Energy Center, where technology providers can go and prove out their technologies. So in the US, we were lacking such a site, and now the DOE has funded PacWave, which is an independent nonprofit associated with OSU, Oregon State University in Oregon, to build a 20 megawatt wave farm that is fully permitted, cabled, and grid connected. So up to four different technologies can be tested. So there are four cables, so 5 megawatt each, and they all can essentially sell power to the grid. And through that, we can collect all the data and the proof points. We then need to go and get project financing and bankability, technical certification. So really get to the same utility scale industry that we're seeing with offshore wind today.
And a couple follow-up questions on that. So how large can these different units, can you give us an idea of the size of each unit? And then how many of these different units can fit together into one project?
Yeah, so maybe I'll start with the project size. There are no limits. It's really more of how much space is available. There's actually a big benefit of wave is because the energy density is so high. It's 20 to 60 times denser than wind and solar, combined with that higher capacity factor. So that's actually an ideal renewable resource. So we only take up about 5% of the ocean space to get to the same multi-megawatt farm compared to an offshore wind farm, because wind, you have the wake effects, they have to be spaced out, versus wave, we can package these very densely. So we only take up, a fraction, 5% of the same area to get to the same installed megawatt level. And in terms of power ratings, similar to the wind industry, we've seen power rating per device grow over time. So the first offshore wind, the industry started onshore and then gradually grew offshore. The first offshore wind farms in Denmark were actually built on 800 kilowatt wind turbines. And so, yeah, we're also planning to offer a megawatt class product line that we can go into multi-megawatt farm levels.
And then what's the timeline for PacWave? When do you think CalWave will be at a point where they can clone that project and start delivering other projects?
PacWave, essentially a user facility, and we're just bringing in the technology. So that's currently in construction. I think the conduits for the cables are laid and the cables are currently being sourced and then deployed. So we're planning to go online in about 24-25 timeframe. So connect the first unit there.
How long are you anticipating proving that technology at that facility before you can expand into other areas?
So we're supported by the Department of Energy's Water Power Technology Office under a contract we won last year. And we had additional awards since 2019 to start the design work of our generator, as well as then the actual front-end engineering. But now we secured a contract to actually build and operate a first unit at PacWave, and that sets the target to deploy for 2 years. Historically, for our first deployment in San Diego, the target was 6 months, but we had zero downtime, zero intervention. So we ended up just extending the operations to 10 months, so kind of exceeding expectations there. But the initial target for PacWave is a 2-year deployment and selling power there.
And then assuming that is successful, what does the business model look like for CalWave? Are you going to manufacture these units and deploy them, or are you going to license the IP? What's the plan there?
As mentioned initially, we're not planning to become a large-scale project developer. We're seeing the same in offshore wind, that we have the entities providing the turbines and then the ones that actually build the farms and own and operate them, sometimes sell them to local utilities, as we're seeing in New York going forward. So we're planning to become an OEM, so really sell the technology as well as services, installation, maintenance, inspection services. Big aspect of cost of energy for offshore is reliability, and that's where really our technology stands out, that we have a digital twin of the system that allows us to execute predictive maintenance and remote inspection. So these are all features that previous generations had not the tools and the modeling sophistication and to be able to offer these. And ultimately, that will really be critical to keep the OPEX low and then the total cost of energy competitive.
When you do have some free time, what do you read, watch, listen to? Just curious.
Yeah, now with working from home and majority of meetings being in front of a screen, I actually am a big fan of audiobooks. I also learn better and through listening than reading. And actually, there's one great article from Peter Drucker called How to Manage Oneself. And that was really quite eye-opening as part of my MBA. I also read then the book on innovation and entrepreneurship. But overall, yeah, that's a really great article. I enjoyed. And yeah, he always differentiates between readers and listeners. So yeah, I listen to a wide range of audiobooks. I sometimes have like 4 or 5 ones going in parallel, jumping into different things from fiction to nonfiction to podcasts. So whatever comes up. And yeah, that allows me also to do other things, work out, walk my little baby, and still listen to something on the go.
Same here. I've listened to podcasts and we have an Audible subscription that my wife and I share. And it's great to either do some yard work and have that kind of on the background or walking the dog. And it's amazing that you can have a 30-hour book that you just sort of roll through after a month or two just by listening to it, doing all the things you would normally do. What advice do you have, Marcus, for college grads interested in renewable energy? Where should they be focusing on? What are the opportunities?
I think in general, and that was really a key experience during my MBA, was a recommendation to really look where are the big problems in the world and make that an imperative that helps your decision making. In our case, and you point towards renewable energy, we see climate change really being a growing issue that also comes with a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities. So I think that's really one of the three layers. The second is really your skill sets and personal capabilities. We often hear follow your passion. The problem is, or the statistics show that if everyone would follow their passion, we have 80% of grads going to entertainment and sports, but they're only 5% of the jobs. So I think being realistic, also where there is a market demand and that fits your skill sets and interest and not only your passion. And then lastly, really urgency. So where can you make an impact? And that's also, yeah, I refer to Peter Drucker for his decision making in his career. He always recommended to not plan out for more than 1.5 years. And so that's also for us been really a metrics where you say, hey, where can we really move the needle in the next 1.5 years? Where can we have an impact as a small team with limited resources? And that's been really driving our individual, but then also organizational decision making.
I think that's great advice. And we always like to direct our listeners, if they want to learn more about the technology, where can they do that? You have a website or videos that you post online? Anywhere people that are listening to this podcast can go out and learn a little bit more?
Yeah, you can find us on all the different social media platforms. But yeah, we have a homepage just under cowwave.energy. We're on LinkedIn and YouTube. So yeah, please take a look. We have a lot of great material out there and press releases on our homepage that show videos and impressions from our deployment in San Diego and other opportunities. And most notably, the state of California recently started to introduce a regional bill next to the federal support. So we have a reference there as well. And that's really exciting to see now one of the states that is really committed to 100% clean energy now alongside offshore wind also introducing wave energy. So yeah, there's a lot of great news coming out also outside of CalWave, just about the industry as a whole that we like to share with the audience.
We were talking yesterday about the state of California's proposal to implement or develop wave energy. And certainly that's a state with their ambitions to be free of internal combustion engines. I believe by the year 2035, they're going to need a lot more energy generation. So that'll be an interesting development to follow. When do you anticipate that the state of California will have that in place?
The bill progressed really well. I actually testified in Sacramento at the Public Utilities Commission hearing. And it's now in the last step of approval. So yeah, we hope that we'll really move forward. And the first step will be just a potential analysis. So showing really how that production profile as well as local job creation can really benefit the local ratepayers. Most likely will be investigated by the California Energy Commission, but then also included in the R&D roadmap that so then informs funding for development. So that's all really exciting progress there on a state level. Next to that, I mean, on a federal level, Congress has assigned about $100 million annually to the Water Power Technology Office that, is supporting marine as a whole, including wave and tidal, but also the recent Ocean Climate Action Plan, as published by the White House, specifically calls out rapid commercialization of wave energy. So we're seeing really positive, from a policy perspective, really strong push mechanisms on a federal and a state level.
That's a great positive note to end our discussion on. Well, Marcus, really appreciate your time today. It's been a very interesting conversation. Glad to hear of the success that you guys been having so far, and wish you the best with the deployment at PacWave. And look forward to having you on the show at some point again to give us an update.
Thanks so much. Yeah, glad to tell some stories how it went or still operates in the coming years. And thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Marcus.
Hey, Jack, what a great conversation with Marcus today. You know, I was really excited to hear that wave energy could account for up to 40% of the U.S.'s energy needs. What was your main takeaway?
Yeah, I think my main takeaway was the fact that waves are 20 to 60 times denser than wind. So you really only need about 5% of the amount of space for this technology versus, say, wind power. And I really think that that makes a lot of sense. And it also will probably get around some of the fact that some people just really do not like having those windmills near their property.
Yeah, great thought there. We thank you for listening to this episode of Green Shoots. Please take a minute to check out our other episodes featuring today's thought leaders working to solve the most vexing problems of our time. We also appreciate your questions, feedback, or comments. You can email us at thearborgroup@ubs.com. See you next time on Green Shoots.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.